3 simple steps on how to lead your feelings and not be a slave to them. Hi, this is Gary Cox. You know, everything that you do, every moment that you are awake, you are being controlled by a feeling or an emotion. Every moment. Think about that. It can be a real roller coaster, huh? You can become like a kite in the wind if you're not careful. Wherever you get blown, that's where you go. If you get a light wind, you slowly start to fall to the ground. And then all of a sudden, a gust comes along and it takes you to the top and you're all excited. And if the gust goes to the left, you go to the left. And if the gust goes to the right, you go to the right. Oh, and listen to this. You can even be controlled by your feelings while you're asleep. How about that? And then you wake up, you don't even realize what's going on. Have you heard of the expression, waking up on the wrong side of the bed? This is where you can wake up and just feel depressed and bummed out for what seems to be no logical reason. Isn't that interesting? Or you wake up with a little bit of energy after having maybe a full 8 hours of sleep, or you wake up with a lack of drive and motivation where when you went to bed, you were all excited about something. I'll discuss why this happens later and more importantly, how to change it and be able to change it quickly. But for starters, how is it that we can become so trained or programmed to be a slave to our feelings, especially if the feelings are not working for us and we know it? Here's one simple answer. What's the first thing that you do when you were born, or what you did when you were born? The moment we're born and we enter the world, we usually what? We start what? Crying, right? And here's what happens. Anytime we want something, what do? We cry. If we're hungry, what do? We cry. If we want to go to the bathroom, what do? Well, we first, then we cry. And this goes on for how long? Day in and day out, hours and hours, many, 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 many times during the day. It goes on week after week, month after month, year after year. You have been programmed to be a slave to your feelings. Isn't that interesting? Then as we get a little bit older, what happens? Well, we have to take a little bit more control, you know. Mom and dad says, okay, you can't pee in public like that. We're going to have to learn to, you know, manage that. And if you're hungry, you can't just throw temper tantrums. You got to learn to manage that. And as we get older, we slowly start to get a little bit more control. Then maybe, you know, after 5 and 7 and 8, we start learning a little bit more of controlling our feelings, because now we get exposed to new things. We get exposed to other kids being mean to us. You know, they make fun of our parents, or you're ugly, you're fat, you're this. And then while all this is happening, if we're not careful, we might experience abuse. We may see abuse in our family. Maybe our parents get a divorce, father, mother, alcoholic. Maybe later on you get beat up in school. I used to be beat up. One kid threw me in a pond at school. I mean, before you know it, the baggage starts taking on. And then as we get into our teens and even older, it starts happening even more. For me, you probably heard my story. My wife and I, we have a baby. Then she tells me it's not mine. My father is murdered. Grandfather and stepfather died of cancer. And the list goes on and on and on. And this baggage now starts to create within ourselves and our emotions. And it gets bigger and deeper and heavier. And before you know it, we are just a total slave to our feelings. Isn't that interesting? Now, what about you? Think back to some of the things that you've been through in your life that's causing you to be a slave to your feelings as opposed to leading them. So what we're going to be focusing on in this program is how to lead your feelings and not be a slave to them. See, it's okay to be a slave to your feelings if the feelings are going to be working in harmony with your goals. But see, that doesn't always happen. So the feelings that are not in harmony with your goals, we've got to learn to lead new feelings and ignore, if you will, the feelings that we're being a slave to. Take time to really be conscious of how often your feelings change, how they go up and down, positive and negative. And more importantly, we're going to try to determine how you reward those negative feelings so we can make some changes. I also want to share with you why it seems to be so hard to lead our feelings. Because when you think about it, you really have two choices in the matter. One, you can lead them, or two, you can be a slave to them. Now, how's that second one working out for you? Not too fun, huh? Let's discuss this. When we feel sad, if we're not careful, we usually act sad. And when you feel happy, you'll usually what? You usually act happy. Now, why then is it so challenging to feel sad and try to act happy? knowing that would really be in the best of our interest. Well, anytime you do something opposite of how you feel, and this is very, very powerful, you want to listen up to this. This is why it's so hard to change behavior. This is also why it's so hard to learn to lead our feelings as opposed to being a slave to them. Now, anytime you try to change your behavior or do something opposite of how you feel, you're going to feel as if you're lying. Wouldn't you feel uncomfortable if you feel sad and then all of a sudden try to act happy? It feels uncomfortable. Now, anytime, again, you do anything opposite of how you feel, you will feel as if you're lying to yourself. Now, you've been programmed, rightfully so, from a young child not to what? Not to lie. And if you stop and think about it, think about any time you try to do something opposite of how you feel. Let's say right now I said to you, jump on a desk and just kind of cheer and say, wow, everything is great. You'd probably feel a little uncomfortable with that. Now, if I said, here's $1 million cash, jump on the desk and do the same thing, all of a sudden you can justify the reason for acting crazy and jumping on the desk because of the money. But the thing is, anytime you do something opposite of how you feel, something is going on in your thought process and in your emotions. And this is where you have two choices. You can either reward the feeling, the negative feeling, and never make change, or you can learn to ignore it and make the change, and I'll show you how to do that. So this is where it's so challenging. So always remember, anytime you try to do something opposite of how you feel, you're going to feel uncomfortable. A lot of people call it getting out of your comfort zone, but again, I really believe it boils down to you're just feeling as if you're just downright lying to yourself. It just feels odd and uncomfortable. And again, remember, as humans, we like to take the course of what? We like to take the course of least resistance. So what do you think we're usually going to do if we really don't have control of this? We're going to take the course of least resistance, and we're going to go back and just be a slave and reward the negative feelings, even though we know they're not going to be in the best of our interest. So we're going to tap in to learning how to understand and, more importantly, master that a lot better. Now, recall earlier, I spoke about waking up on the wrong side of the bed, and you've experienced that before, right? You know, you wake up just feeling blah. And the crazy thing about this sometimes is when you went to bed, you just felt great. You know, maybe you were excited about something, but now you just feel blah, maybe no energy. Maybe you woke up angry. Have you ever done that before? You have no reason to be angry, and you just wake up just irritated and angry, and you just don't even know why, for whatever that feeling is. But here's the real kicker. If you don't know why you feel this way, then you can't solve it. See, what happens is you'll try to analyze your inventory of thoughts, trying to figure out, you know, what thought led you to this negative feeling or emotion, because you know that our thoughts create emotions and feelings. And then you just can't put your finger on specifically the thought or thoughts that may have caused this present negative lethargic feeling. So if you can't figure it out and you're not careful, your day's off to a bad start. In other words, you've woken up on the wrong side of the bed. Now, you don't like these negative feelings or this lack of energy, so you try to fix the problem. So here's the time to fix the problem. Now, how do many people try to fix that lethargic feeling or that just, you know, blah feeling in the morning? Well, they have to have their fix of what? They have to have their fix of coffee or some other fix. In other words, they're looking for something else to change them instead of discovering how to do it within themselves. First, if you can't discover the reasons why from time to time you wake up on the wrong side of the bed and you don't know the why, then remember, you probably can't figure out the how. And the how is how to fix it. You'll find this very interesting. Now, the nervous system cannot tell the difference between imagination and reality. And I'm just trying to fill you in a little bit on how we work and how we think and how emotions can get created. Now, here's what I mean by the nervous system cannot tell the difference between imagination and reality. Imagine for a moment that my fingernails are, you know, long just a little bit, and I'm going to rub them across a dry chalkboard. Now, for a lot of people, they felt that and they responded to that. Now, whether you did or not, you can imagine that a lot of people do. And how is it that some people can respond to that thought when there is no chalkboard in front of them? I just talked about it. Well, the reason they responded is the nervous system can't tell the difference between imagination and reality. Now, what does this have to do with you waking up on the wrong side of the bed? Well, you've heard before that we've been told that we all dream. Whether you realize it or not, they say that we all have dreams when we're sleeping. Sometimes you remember the dream vividly, and other times you don't even realize that you're dreaming. Now, if the nervous system can't tell the difference between imagination and reality, what happens is as you're dreaming, and if you wake up in a dream or from a dream, I should say, if you're not careful, you'll actually carry on some of the emotions from your dream. You know, haven't you heard of people before? Maybe you've experienced it. You're dreaming of something chasing you or something really, you know, a lot of adrenaline or whatever, and you wake up and you're literally just in a sweat. And then you don't know why, and you start thinking, oh, wait a minute, I just had a dream, or you wake up being scared. Whether you remember the dream or not, if you're not careful, it can create some type of emotions. That's why sometimes you'll just wake up angry, and you have no idea why. You try to think about something, what you want to try to think about. Was there a dream, or maybe something you thought of before you went to bed that started training that nervous system and made things become very real to you? Isn't that interesting? Let me give you an idea how really powerful that is. I'll give you an example. Let's say that you're, let's say you have a child, and the child is 18 months, you know, I don't know, barely 2 years old. But let's say the child cannot communicate verbally very well. You know, if things happen to him, they're still in the baby talk stage. So let's say you're watching TV with this young child, 18 months, 20 months, whatever, and you're watching a TV show, and in that TV show, it's something about the jungle, and there's a snake, a big snake, kind of like, you know, slithering along, and it's not being threatening to anybody. It's just a video of a snake just moving around, you know, the forest or a tree. And that little 20-month-old child sees that, is not bothered by it, at least at that time, and now goes to sleep. So let's say the baby goes to sleep. You take your baby to the crib or whatever. And I don't know, let's say that was at 10 o'clock or 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock. And then at midnight, the baby is just screaming bloody murder, just totally freaked out. But here's the kicker. The child, remember, is not old enough to be able to communicate what happened. And if it could, it would tell you that it just had a dream of this snake that it saw on the TV at 7 o'clock in the evening. That snake just swallowed them and just totally freaked them out. But that child is not old enough to communicate that to you, so it just cries and, you know, kind of freaks out. But here's what's crazy about this. That dream, and that child did not even realize it, but that dream has now created in that child, a phobia. That child could now be phobic of snakes for the rest of its life and not even know why. Because the nervous system cannot tell the difference between imagination and reality. So this is how sometimes we wake up on the wrong side of the bed, quote unquote. We wake up feeling, like I said, maybe tired or lethargic, and before we went to bed, we were doing fine. Well, you may have experienced a dream that you didn't even remember that created that emotion or that feeling in you. So what I want you to do is, by understanding this, is I want you to become more consciously aware of what's going on in your thinking and in your emotions. And as we continue in this program, we're going to start decoding how this happens, and more importantly, the strategies how we can take more control of our feelings, lead our feelings, as opposed to being a slave to them. Well, up at this point, I hope you're intrigued by all this as what I call something that's really fascinating. Fascinating stuff. Well, it's time to get started. Step one, awareness. Awareness. I know this sounds simple and downright common sense, and perhaps it's because it is, but trust me on this. I know you'll agree with me. We can get so wrapped up into our feelings, whether they be positive or negative, and we can get wrapped up in an instant and not even realize it. In other words, we don't seem to quickly be able to distinguish the fact that we are totally immersed in a feeling. Something has happened to us and bam, we just respond without even thinking about it. Maybe we just get angry or upset. We drop something and then the emotions and feelings start to escalate. It happens to me. Now, one of my personal goals with regards to emotions is to see how fast I can be aware of when I get sucked into an emotion without even realizing it, and I try to determine that as fast as possible. Now, if I get so wrapped up into an emotion and I'm not able to pinpoint that I am actually wrapped up into this emotion, what's going to happen? It's not going to give me the ability to learn to control it if I need to, again, whether it's positive or negative. Now, I catch myself doing it all the time. Something happens, and then after the fact, I realize, I just got caught up in that web of that specific emotion. Now, notice I refer to being a slave to both negative and positive feelings and emotions. See, on the surface, it seems logical not to want to be a slave to negative feelings if they don't serve us, but we also have to be aware of being a slave to positive feelings. Here's a point or a thought you'll want to take note of. When our emotions are high, our thinking is low. Let me repeat that. When our emotions are high, our thinking is low. Now notice I didn't say whether the high emotions were positive or negative. When our emotions are high, our thinking is low. So you can have negative emotions, and we've all experienced that. You get negative emotions, and you just don't seem to reason well. You just make decisions on the spur, and if you look back to it, you know, a couple days up, hours later, you look back and say, ugh, why did I say that, or why did I make that decision? On the other hand, when you're all excited, high as a kite, if you're not careful, your thinking can also be low. And then you make decisions based on high emotions, whether, again, these high emotions are a negative emotion or a positive emotion. So remember, when your emotions are high, your thinking is low. It doesn't necessarily have to be negative emotions. It can also be positive emotions. Rewarding all positive feelings may not necessarily be the right thing to do, or at least perhaps you may want to be careful how long you reward them. Now, we'll get into this a lot more specifically as we continue with this program. So here's what awareness will do for you. Trying to be totally aware of your feelings and how you've responded to a specific situation and circumstances enables you to create a buffer between the situation and the domino effect on your feelings and emotions from how you respond to that situation. Very important. So understand, I know it sounds simple, awareness, step one, great. But what it does is it does a lot. It gives you that buffer, that space. So you realize, oh, wait a minute here, there's something going on. Let me have a space. Let me have some buffer so I can start thinking about how I'm going to respond to this specific situation. And without awareness, you'll continue to be that kite in a wind, understanding that the awareness doesn't change anything yet. That's a start. If you aren't aware, then you can't change what you don't acknowledge because you haven't made yourself aware of anything that needs to be changed. So here's your simple exercise for today and hopefully the rest of your life when it comes to awareness. Today, become more aware of your feelings and, more importantly, how you're responding to them. And that's going to be a very, very important part to being successful at leading your feelings as opposed to being a slave to them. Let's go to step two. Step two is going to be short, but not necessarily easy. Step two is pause the feeling. Pause the feeling. And again, we can't come close to pausing our feelings if we haven't learned to master step one, being aware of them. So we first got to be aware of the feelings. Hey, something is going on here. Here's what the feeling is. And now we've got to pause the feeling. Now for emphasis, because I just kind of touched on this just a little bit ago, pausing the feelings, listen closely, pausing the feelings enables you to create a buffer between the situation and the feelings associated with it and the domino effect that is about to perhaps happen with your feelings and how you respond to that situation. So that pausing gives you breathing room. Now let's define what we mean by pausing the feeling. We're not talking about being a robot and having no emotions. We're talking about pausing the feeling and just thinking. It means just think about it. What's going on in your head? When you take a lot of time to master your emotions and lead them, as you're taking the time to do now, this will be reflex. You won't even have to think about it. You'll be aware instantly, pause the feeling, and then you'll go to the next steps. Trust me on this. If you learn to practice this and master this with total awareness, you'll be amazed how much control you can have in your life, specifically with your emotions. And of course, you know, your emotions lead to actions. And if you don't like the feelings and the emotions, you're probably not going to like the actions associated with those negative feelings or emotions. So we have to pause the feeling. Now, pausing the feeling gets you set up for the next step. Pausing your feeling sets you up to either reward or be a slave to the negative feelings or the positive feelings, or learn to dismiss it, kind of ignore it, if you will, and then change course. So that's now going to bring us to step three. Step three, slave or lead. You're at the point now, once you've paused the feeling and previously become aware of it, now we have a choice. We're either going to be a slave to it or we're going to lead it. Now, here's something also that's interesting. If you choose to lead the feeling, it could also mean you're being a slave to it. What do I mean by that? Sounds a little confusing. See, let's say you have a feeling that you like. It's going to work for you. It's going to serve you. You just feel it. It's natural. Well, if you reward that feeling, you are in a sense being a slave to it, right? It's just making you feel a certain way and you're going on with the feeling. But when you become aware of it and pause the feeling and say, okay, here's this feeling. I want to reward it. I'm going to be a slave to it. You're technically leading it because you're in control. You've made the conscious choice to slave or reward that feeling, which now means you're now in control and you are leading it. Sounds a little counterintuitive, but it's very powerful. We need to really understand that statement or that point. You become aware of a feeling or feelings. You freeze the feeling and you say, you know what? I like this feeling. I'm going to continue with it. I'm just going to let it go. Just go along with the feeling. At that point, once you've paused the feeling and you said, okay, I'm going to reward and go with it, you've made a conscious decision. And when you make a conscious decision or that conscious decision, you're now in a sense saying, okay, I'm in control. I'm going to lead my feelings. And my decision was to be a slave or reward this feeling. I like it. On the other hand, if you say, okay, I'm aware, pause the feeling, I don't like this feeling, we're going to talk about soon on how to change the feeling that you don't like, how to lead it, then you're going to do opposite. You're not going to reward it now. You've made a conscious decision not to reward it or be a slave to it, so you are again leading your feelings. You're now in control. To get mastery over this, let's do a simple, quick review to the point we're at now. Number one, we've got to be aware of what's going on, aware of our feelings. Are they going up, down, left, or right? Number two, pause the feeling. Now, when we say or think of pausing the feeling, remember, you want to equate or associate pausing the feeling to stop and think. That's it, stop and think. Now, some people say, well, Gary, how do I do this? How do I pause my feelings? Stop and think. That's it. The time for you to learn to master this is not when your wife tells you your baby really isn't yours and she's been cheating on you with one of your employees who happened to be 15 years of age. How's that work for your ego? True story, happened to me. You've got to learn to master this with the little feelings. Learn to play games with your mind instead of your mind playing games with you. Learn to play games with your feelings, if you will, instead of your feelings playing games with you. So acknowledge a simple little feeling. Don't wait till it all hits the fan. At that point, if you haven't learned to master this whole process, trust me, when it hits the fan, it's going to keep hitting the fan. You're not going to be able to stop it. So when you get a hold of your feelings and just stop and think, then you'll be able to be more consciously aware of what's going on. Learn to master this, pause the feeling, or stop and think with little things throughout your day-to-day routine. This is where the mastery is going to come in. So you get into work, there's no huge, big, crazy stuff going on, or you're hanging around with the kids or some friends. You're going to experience feelings all day long, little stuff, big stuff. You're looking for the little feelings. Feel them, pause them, be aware of them, stop and think, oh, this is how I've been rewarding this negative feeling all my life, or, ah, this is how I've been rewarding this positive feeling all my life. But the whole key and to the success of this is to really learn to master the little feelings. If you're one and you're, you know, being honest with yourself and say, look, I got a huge issue with really mastering my emotions and feelings, well, then you definitely need to take time and watch those little tiny feelings and learn to manipulate, for lack of a better word, or control or pause those feelings and think those through. Then once this becomes routine, awareness, pause the feeling, and then we'll keep going with the next steps. Once it becomes natural, just a natural reflex, it becomes easier and easier and happens without you even thinking about it. And then as you get yourself conditioned to master the little feelings, when the big stuff comes, you might fail for starters. You know, something major starts happening. Ah, you get caught up in that feeling. You realize, oh man, I didn't become aware of it. I didn't stop and think about it or pause the feeling. But you'll slowly get better and better and better at it. And then what this will enable you to do, it'll enable you to stretch and do more in your life. See, a lot of people are afraid to move forward because they have a lot of fears and limitations which equate to feelings. And if they can't control these feelings, they stop and don't reach their goals and dreams. Or they try, and if they, in their mind, fail, they have to resort to alcohol or drugs or, you know, lashing out at other people. You can certainly understand what I'm talking about when I share that. All right, everything makes sense there. Awareness, pause the feeling. And what's pause the feeling mean? It just simply means stop and think. Learn to master this in the little stuff, then you'll be prepared for the big stuff. Well, maybe not. Well, now it's time for step three. This is where you come to a fork in the road. A fork in your emotional mind. It's time to make a decision. We're going to go to the left. We're going to go to the right. Now, keep in mind, we're right now at pause mode. So we've paused the feeling. The pausing of the feeling, very important to remember, the pausing of the feeling has now set you up and it is the beginning stage of interrupting what would be perhaps a distracting or negative cycle. Now, we haven't figured it out yet if it's going to be distracting or rewarding, but this is where we're going. So now you're confronted with two choices. Number one, be a slave to that feeling that you've paused. Or number two, lead a new feeling. So step three is slave or lead. That's the choice. So we're in pause mode. What are we going to do? We're going to slave or lead. So let's take some time now to discuss both of our options. Slave. To be a slave to the feeling. Now, how about we take a quick look at identifying the word slave? Kind of interesting. The state of one bound, that's not a fun word, bound, wrapped up, bound in servitude as a property of a slaveholder or household. The second is the condition of being subject or, listen to this word, addicted to a specified influence. Addicted. So when somebody's addicted, they usually don't have what? Control. Now, after taking the time to pause our feelings, the question to ask ourselves is, if I continue on this path, will it serve me or not? So when you're in pause mode, we've got to now ask, if I continue on this path, if I reward this feeling or feelings, will it serve me or not? Is it negative or positive? What will be the outcome when I'm done rewarding this feeling? If it's negative, you must then make a conscious decision not to be a slave to that. Well, we're going to get into that in greater detail. We'll talk about it right now a little bit. And so how do you do that? Well, this is where you have to practice total awareness. This is a must. Now, trust me, this is not rocket science, but it does take practice. So what you have to do, you have to learn to identify all the behaviors that go along with following or being a slave to the feeling. Now, in other words, how are you rewarding the negative feeling or the positive feeling for that matter? So let's identify the ways in which we do this. Now, you'll often hear me associate the words reward the feeling and slave to the feeling together. They're pretty much the same. You'll reward your negative or positive feelings by following up with specific words. They're either verbal or nonverbal. So when we think about nonverbal, you know, we think about self-talk, you know, what's going on in your mind. You start that little self-talk that's, you know, kind of negative, or they may be verbal. You'll say words or things that you shouldn't say. Or perhaps you'll go down a path that includes words of a negative dialogue or maybe negative or limited beliefs. Maybe you start complaining. You have to be totally honest with your feelings here in order to master this and be successful at it. Remember, you can't change what you don't acknowledge. Now, the second thing to master is to be aware of how you say these words or beliefs. What's the tone behind them? This is vitally important because, you know, remember, words have no meaning other than the meaning that you choose to give them, and the tone in which we apply to the words will often give us that meaning. The third thing that you'll want to be focused on and be aware of is the body language or the physiology that you include that goes along with your words and tone. Very, very important. You have your tail between your legs, or you got your chin up, your chest out. What is that body language? And let's go to the fourth one. You want to identify additional behaviors you include thereafter, after all the three things that I just shared with you. Maybe you get discouraged and your behavior after being discouraged or as you're being discouraged and rewarding this negative feelings is that you just want to quit or stop what it is that you have been doing. Or maybe it's go to the fridge and start eating. Or maybe you become agitated and you take it out on other people. Or there's certain patterns that you have that you want to be really aware of. It's no different than when you wake up every morning. When you wake up every morning, the average person has the exact same pattern, right? You do the same thing every day. You know, you may go right away to the bathroom, or you may, you know, put some more clothes on or brush your teeth right away. As you have these patterns when you wake up, and maybe you have a certain pattern when you go to bed, you also have patterns that you use to reward certain feelings. And this is something that you want to be extremely, extremely aware of. You must really learn to master the ability to analyze all your patterns of behavior and how you're rewarding both negative and also the positive ones as well. Very, very important you master both. Now, you have these patterns in everything, whether you realize it or not. In pretty much all areas of your life, relationships, financially, sexually, physically, and the list goes on and on and on. So this exercise will give you total awareness of what's going on in your life in regards to how you reward your feelings. So we've focused a decent amount here on identifying, rewarding the negative feelings, and we touched a little bit on the positive feelings, but we really also want to learn not to necessarily be a slave to positive feelings. Now, what do I mean by that? Isn't it great to be a slave to positive feelings? If you feel happy, you act happy. Well, yes and no. Let me explain this. When I'm super happy, I often tone it down a notch. And I do this as a way of consciously telling me I'm in control of this feeling, even if it's a good, positive one. See, the whole key here is to have total awareness that you are in control of the emotion, whether it's positive or negative. So when you think about it, if we're going down a negative path, it only makes sense to learn to control that and hopefully stop it and change it. But for me, on the other hand, if I'm going down a positive path, like I say, I may drop it down a notch or two, then I'll go ahead and take it back to where it was. I just do that to let myself know, hey, Gary, you are in total control of your emotions, whether they be positive or negative. And by being in control of my positive emotions and dropping it down a notch, it's just my way of consciously letting me know I'm in control of this, whether it's good or bad, up or down, left or right, I'm in control of it. And when you even control your positive emotions, it's a consistent way of keeping you mentally conditioned that, hey, if I'm aware of controlling my positive emotions, and that's not easy to do, because you just get caught up in the positive emotion. It's easy. It's fun. But if you can learn to be aware of controlling your positive emotions, then you'll be that much more aware when the negative ones happen as well. So that's a little exercise I want you to think about controlling and learning to master. Now, I don't want to be a slave, as I said, to either negative or positive feelings. And not wanting to be a slave to positive feelings doesn't mean I don't want to feel or experience them. Of course I do. I just want to know that I have that awareness to know what's going on and that I have the ability to manage my feelings and emotions, whether they be high or low. So that's something really powerful to think about. This gives me so much control of my emotions. I can actually plan my emotions. What do I mean by that? Well, let me explain. I recently went to the island of Jamaica, and that's where I'm born and raised. You'd never know it, but this is what we call a Jamaican accent. So I don't have my Jamaican accent unless when I'm with my family, then I just turn it on. Maybe I'll do a program in Jamaican anyway. So here's what I mean by planning my emotions. Unfortunately, when I was a teenager, my father was shot and murdered in Jamaica. So when I recently went back, I wanted to, I don't know if you want to call it pay tribute to him, but I wanted to go back to the area or the actual place he was shot at. So I thought about this. I said, well, when I go there, what do I want to do? How do I want to handle it emotionally? Do I want to cry and let some feelings out? Or do I not want to cry and not have any emotion? So it was a choice. And friends, I think that's very powerful. So my choice was when I got there, and I made this choice before arriving, my choice was I don't want to be emotional about it. I just want to go there, you know, think it through a little bit, take a picture or two, and just spend a little time. And that's what I did. So I went there. I actually stood right where he was shot. And I thought about, you know, what he went through and so forth. And I chose at that point not to show emotion. This is when you have total control. That's cool. So I want you to really go over this over and over and over. Now, when we finish this all up, you know, you've got this program. Listen to it often, because remember, we do so much when it comes to being controlled by our emotions. And if we don't have it mastered, man, we're just going to be like that kite in the wind. Wherever it gets blown, that's where we go. This leads us to discussing the second part of step three. Lead your feelings. Remember, we've got two choices now: to be a slave to the feeling or lead the feeling. Now, this by far is the most challenging part of this program. Trust me on this one. This is what separates the men from the boys, the women from the girls. So for starters, why is it so hard to lead our feelings? Well, being a slave or rewarding a present feeling is natural and it's easy. It's the course of least resistance. So if we feel sad, we usually what? Act sad. So we as humans naturally like to take the easy way out. Learning to lead your feelings takes work and effort, and that's where the challenge is. But trust me on this one as well, the rewards are huge. It gives you so much control of your emotions. Here's another advantage, though, of having control of your emotions. How often have you set out to do something, go out on a path or a course or set your goals or whatever it is, and you get emotionally negatively wrapped up? Do you feel like being consistent and going forward? No. It's so destructive and it prevents us from taking consistent, massive action toward our goals. So if you get anything out of this, understand by controlling and mastering your feelings gives you the ability to have the control to be consistent toward any of your goals. And I think that's the greatest payoff to learning to master this. In this program, I'm going to not only share with you how to master the ability to lead your feelings, but I'm going to show you how to totally understand what's going on in your mind and in your behaviors to give you the edge in mastering this, which again is going to result in taking back more control of your life. Doesn't that sound attractive to you? Well, if it doesn't, maybe it means that you haven't mastered the ability to lead your feelings, and then you're a what to them? You're a slave to them. And how's that working for you and the rest of humanity? You watch people. They are so out of control, they just have no control over their emotions and feelings. Leading your positive feelings. This is very important. I emphasized this before. I want to say it again. In leading your feelings, I again want to establish a very important point. Here we go. Don't forget this. If you're at step two and you've paused your feelings, in other words, you've stopped at that fork in your mental road to determine what feelings you're experiencing, and you determine that it is a positive one, and you say, okay, let's keep going, because it's natural for you to want to be a slave to your positive feelings as well. So it can be said at this point that you're technically still a slave to that feeling, but the difference is that you've actually made a conscious choice to continue to reward it. So in a sense, you're actually now leading it. You're calling the shots. You got that? Now, with that being said, with the exception of what I just shared with you, when I refer to leading your feelings, I'll be referring to identifying limited or negative feelings and not rewarding them, but lead them off to a more positive road or more positive feelings. You've got to understand this. So most of the time when I refer to leading your feelings from here on out, I'm referring to choosing not to reward the negative feelings and change the course. You got that? Okay, let's keep going. We've come to step two and we've paused our feelings and determined that this present road we're going down is negative and it's got to stop. Now what do we do? First, you have to identify the negative road that you would have taken if you continued down this path and do the opposite. Now, that sounds simple. Let's chop this up a little bit. We have to identify the negative path or road that you would have taken if you continued going down it. So how do we do that? We go back to the words that we would have said. If we keep going down this negative path, what are the words and the limited beliefs I would keep carrying on with me? How am I saying them? What's the body language and the physiology that I'm using to reward this negative path? And then what are my behaviors? So by freezing things and looking ahead to what I would do if I go down the negative path, now you're identifying all the patterns. So now we have to say, whoa, hold on here, stop the path, and what would be the opposite? This is now where we're going to have to learn to lead our feelings. Because remember, anytime you do, this is very powerful, anytime you do something opposite of how you feel, you are going to feel as if you are lying to yourself. And again, rightfully so, we've been trained and programmed, conditioned as little kids not to lie to ourselves. So when you get to this fork in the road where you want to do opposite of how you feel because you want to lead your feelings, you have this conflict going on that says, oh my goodness, I just feel so uncomfortable because I'm so used to being a slave to my feelings. And if you don't get that and catch that, you're going to get sucked up in to the negative feelings. So what we've got to learn to do, we've got to get some principles or some thought processes that can help us master the ability to lead the feelings and not be a slave to them. Because if you're new to this, and some people aren't, but if you're not or have not been totally aware of your emotions and feelings for maybe the last couple months, maybe you went through something huge or major, what's going to happen is you're going to get sucked up into those negative feelings as you try to do your best to lead and do opposite. So by understanding the principles that I'm about to share with you, this is going to give you the concept and knowing why this behavior is so hard to change, but also give you the ability to make sure you change it. So remember, anytime you do something opposite of how you feel, in other words, when you try to lead your feelings, you're going to feel a conflict as if you're lying to yourself. And if you're not careful, you will take the course of least resistance and continue to reward the negative emotions and feelings and go down that negative path. So now let's talk about how do we stop that? How do we really try to lead our feelings knowing that we're going to feel opposite or do something opposite of how we feel? How do we make ourselves continue to lead our feelings? That's what we're going to focus on now. Pretty much from here on out, as I talk about leading your feelings, I'm referring to come to that mental fork in the road. That's after the awareness. So you're now at step two, pausing the feeling and acknowledging that the feeling is negative or it won't serve you. And then you're going to have to do things opposite in order not to reward this negative path so you don't keep going down it. So I want you to associate these two terms together as if they're one and the same. Lead your feelings means doing things opposite of how you presently feel or feel like acting. Let me repeat that. Leading your feelings means doing something opposite of how you presently feel or presently feel like acting. So lead your feelings, do something opposite. Lead your feelings, do something opposite. They're one and the same. Now, next thing to keep reminding yourself is that you know that you're on the right course to leading your feelings when you are doing things that are opposite in order to counteract the negative path, and you feel, here's the key, and you feel uncomfortable, or you feel as if it's a struggle or unnatural to go down the new path. This is a good thing. That's one of the clues to let you know that you are on the right track. That's pretty counterintuitive, wouldn't you think? But don't forget that. So what happens now, we're going to talk about this later on, the challenge that we have is we start feeling that it is so unnatural and it's such a struggle or so uncomfortable that, again, remember, we like to take the course of least resistance. So what do we say? Oh, I don't like this uncomfortable path I'm going down. I don't like this struggle or this uncomfortable feeling, the uncomfortable feeling of doing opposite of how I really feel. And then we go back to that course of least resistance. And what happens? We never make change. Let's go through an example here. Let's talk about rejection. We'll use, whether it's rejection in business, whether you're in business or not, maybe you're doing a lot of sales or a lot of cold calling or calling people on the phone and you get rejected. Or maybe you're trying to date or meet somebody and you feel rejected. So the first thing is to become aware that we got rejected or we feel rejected. Next thing is we already know that's not going to serve us, not a good feeling. How would we normally reward this rejection? Well, what do? Keep going forward? Not normally, no. We reward the rejection by stopping. We don't go up to that next man or that next woman. We don't make that next sales call. So that's what we do. We stop or dramatically slow down. How do we act? What's our behavior like? Do we, look unconfident now? We've lost all of our confidence. We have our tail between our legs. These are all the things that we're looking for that we would normally do to reward the rejection. And it's so important for you to create an inventory of all the things that you feel uncomfortable with in relationships, in business, or your personal finances, in your self-esteem, all these different things, and look for all the areas and how you reward these behaviors. It's important because this is how you know and learn about yourself. So once you have this mastered, the next thing now is if you know how you would go down a negative path and all the things that you would say, do, the action steps, we've got to what? We've got to halt it. We've got to stop it. So this is now where we go and do things opposite of how we feel. Also, I want you to keep in mind in this segment that we're on, which is going to be a little challenging, none of this is going to work if you don't value the importance of being happier and having emotional control in your life. And if that's not important to you, this is all going to be hogwash. You can listen to this all you want over and over and over, but without a great reason why you want to make improvements in your life, everything I'm sharing with you will be empty words. So the higher the value that you have on being happier and having more control, the more you're willing to push through your struggles and go through these opposite feelings. So what do we do now? The next thing we have to do, we have to understand certain beliefs. So as you do things opposite of how you feel, the number one reason, and I've emphasized this regularly already, the number one reason why we don't continue on this opposite path, knowing it would be in our best interests, why would it be in your best interest? Well, if you keep putting yourself in front of other men or women as you're dating, you're eventually going to find somebody. If you keep making more phone calls and sales opportunities, you're going to make what? More money. So it's in your best interest to learn to master this. What makes it so challenging is, again, we want to be a slave. We've been so programmed to be a slave to our feeling. And again, anytime you do something opposite of how you feel, you're going to feel as if you're lying. So we need some beliefs that are going to prevent us from doing what's human. Take the course of least resistance. So here is the first one. As you start saying new words, things that are opposite of what you would normally say if you went down the negative path, as you're trying to do opposite actions, make more phone calls, meet more people, et cetera, you are going to feel uncomfortable. Great. That's the perfect sign. Remember, you're leading your feelings now. Lead your feelings means doing opposite of how you presently feel. So that's a good thing. We now have to get a new mindset so we can stay on this course? Here are a couple of them. Number one, and if you're taking notes, I'm going to strongly suggest you jot this down. Not while you're driving, if you are. If you're not taking notes, you'll want to remember this. When my feelings are not in harmony with my goals, ignore my feelings. When my feelings are not in harmony with my goals, ignore my feelings. And this is what you're doing now. You're learning to ignore your feelings by doing what? Doing opposite of what you would normally do if you went down the negative path. Now, let me make a point here. When I say, when my feelings are not in harmony with my goals, ignore my feelings, I'm not talking about, you know, if you've just been raped yesterday, just ignore your feelings. You want to deal with them. So let's use some common sense here. Okay, this is, you know, we're being reasonable. So things that are really, really deep, you know, it may take a lot more consulting or therapy or something like that. So just use some common sense here. So when my feelings, what feelings? My negative feelings. This is the stuff I want to change. When my feelings, my negative feelings are not in harmony with my goals. What's your goal in this case? To make more sales, to feel happier, to have control over your emotions. When my feelings are not in harmony with my goals, ignore my feelings. How are we going to ignore our feelings? We're going to lead them and we're going to ignore them by doing things opposite of what we would normally do if we went down the negative path. Next very important point for you to think about. Another reason why it's so difficult to make change is, you want to jot this down or remember this one, feelings change last. So powerful. Always remember, feelings change last. So anytime you're going down that opposite course or leading your feelings, it's easy to start leading your feelings by saying something opposite of how you feel. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and meet that next woman. I'm going to go up to that next guy. I'm going to make that next sales call. That's easier to say than actually doing it, but it's a start. So you're starting to do something opposite of how you feel. As now you keep going down this course, do your feelings change right away? Where first you got all this rejection and now you say, okay, I'm just going to keep going forward, and you make another phone call. Do the feelings, the negative feelings go right away? No, feelings change last. So you have to hang in there long enough and keep doing it, not once in a while, but keep doing it over and over and over, understanding that the last thing to change is the feeling or feelings. That's the goal. Your whole goal is, when you lead your feelings and do opposite of how you feel, your goal is now to go so far and go so opposite that eventually you get the new feelings that going up to this next woman or this next man is not a big deal. Making that next phone call and the next phone call is not a big deal. That's when you know you're successful, is now when you are on that new course and you feel that it is now natural. That's your ultimate goal. And in between the time that you change course and say, okay, I'm at step two, pause the feelings, I don't want to go down the negative path, I'm going to force myself, I'm going to lead my feelings down the new path. Remember, as you lead those feelings, you're going to feel uncomfortable. You're going to feel that struggle. You're going to feel unnatural going down that path. Eventually, if you do it long enough with the right attitude, what's going to happen? You're no longer going to feel unnatural. You're no longer going to feel it's a struggle because you're no longer doing opposite of how you feel. That is so powerful. But you must remember, in that time between changing course and those feelings becoming natural, you must remember that feelings change last, and you have to hang in there long enough to get them to change. And if you don't get that in your head, and if you don't remember and tell yourself over and over that feelings change last, what are you probably going to do? You're probably going to go ahead and reward, because we like to take the course of least resistance and we've been programmed to be a slave to our feelings. You're going to take that course and go whoop right back into that negative path. This is very powerful. And this is some of the strategies that I've used for many, many years to lead and master my feelings in the worst situations of my life. So I'm going to encourage you to listen to this section over and over, if not just listen to the entire program over and over again till you get it. I want to take this a little further. One of the things I think people have a lot of challenges in life is with regards to being so overly concerned about what other people think about them. This is huge crazy. For starters, how does this happen? And the reason I want to share this with you is I want you to see how we have been programmed to be so concerned about what other people think about us when it should be none of our business. And I want you to see how we've rewarded this behavior for so many years over and over and over and over. And how, unfortunately, it's become so natural to be so concerned about what other people think about us. Let's come up with a little scenario. Maybe you're, 8, 9 years old and you're at school. And you know, let's say for a fact, you know for a fact that your two so-called friends are talking about you, all right? And as they're talking about you, maybe one is a little bit closer of a friend and another one isn't so close. And you can see them talking about you. Again, you know for a fact that they're talking about you, but they can't see you observing them. It's right at that point where you are not aware of what's going on. And you haven't taken step two, which is to pause the feeling. And what's the feeling now? The feeling is I'm feeling a little insecure because I know for a fact, we know this for a fact, I know for a fact they're talking about me and it's not positive. What do we do now? At step two, unfortunately, because we're not consciously aware of what's going on, usually at 8 or 9 years old about stuff like this, is that now we want to keep looking and staring at them to see what they're saying, and maybe we can try to read their lips. So we keep rewarding the feeling of being insecure. Then we take it to the next step. When those two call so friends depart, we might want to now go follow that one person that we're a little closer with and find out what that other person said about me. And so we keep rewarding the feeling of insecurity over and over and over. Or that so-called friend that's a little closer to us, they eventually come to us and they say, do you know what so-and-so said about you? And how do we reward that feeling? No, what do they say? And it gets deeper and deeper and deeper. So when we understand how to really use and master these three steps, it is amazing the amount of control you can have in your life. So at this point, let's go ahead and do a quick review of some of the information that I have gone over with you in this program. The biggest thing to think about here is these three steps. Number one, you've got to be aware of your circumstances. Be aware of your feelings. Hugely, hugely important. Then we got to jump over to number two. Step two, we've got to pause the feeling. We've got to stop and think about what is going on here. And most people don't take enough time to do that. When you master this and do this on a regular basis, you will start becoming so aware of everything that's going on and also all the things that push your buttons, both negative and positive. You want to learn to understand both of those, not just the negative stuff. Then, step three. When we come to that fork in the road, when we've paused the feelings to think about what's going on in our head, we've got two choices, don't we? Remember, you've got choice number one there. You can be a slave to that feeling, and you know that doesn't work. Or we can lead the feeling. Again, always remember, you know you're on the right course when you're leading your feelings and you start feeling uncomfortable. So associate, lead your feelings means doing something opposite of how you would presently feel or feel like acting if you went down the wrong path or that negative path. So lead your feelings means what? Doing opposite of how you feel. Lead your feelings, do something opposite. Lead your feelings, do something opposite. And remember, if you start feeling uncomfortable about that, or if it's a little bit of a struggle, or you feel unnatural going down that new path, Ding, 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 ding. That's a good thing. You're on the right course. Remember, that's going to be counterintuitive. Because why? We want to take the course of least resistance and be a slave to that negative feeling. Then we've got to keep in mind, remember these two also very important points. When my feelings, my negative feelings, when my feelings are not in harmony with my goals, what do? Learn to ignore my feelings. And how do we ignore our feelings? Do everything opposite of what we would normally do if we went down that path, that negative path. And then understand, you've got to really grasp this, that feelings change when? Feelings change last. Never, never forget that. And your goal is, as you go on that opposite path, your goal is to understand that you know your feelings are going to be opposite. You're going to feel uncomfortable. Your goal now is to keep doing it so your feelings now catch up. So when you make that next call, it's no problem. You feel as if it's no problem. When you go up to that next man or that next woman, you feel as if it's no problem. Well, we're just about to wrap up, and I have one final recommendation for you. I'm going to strongly encourage, especially if you enjoyed this program, and I hope you learned a lot of information, I'm going to encourage you to get my Discovering the Perfect You program. In this program, you're going to hear me work with you and talk about how to manage 27 feelings of inadequacies. You know how feelings that we get from, I'm not pretty enough, or what are they going to think about me, or I have to perform at a certain level to please somebody, or I can't say no to other people. Really good information. What's also, I find, very powerful about this program is on CD5, you're going to hear me work with two people who have been through some major trauma in their life, and they're very frank about their discussion or in their discussion about what they've been through. So what you're hearing is real people in the real world as I work with them, and you get to listen to how they make their change or their change in their thinking as we go one-on-one together. In fact, one of the ladies in that program, she was on medication for over 7 years, and after one consultation with me, she is no longer on medication. Now, I'm not saying I encourage that by any stretch of the imagination, but I do know this. If you learn how to change your thought process and your belief system, you can change your results. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this program as much as I have enjoyed putting it together. I encourage you to learn to master these three steps. I encourage you to also listen to this program on a very regular basis. Because by doing this, you too will learn how to lead your feelings and not be a slave to them.